listening to The Two with Tony and Myron. Estás escuchando Los Dos con Tony and Myron.
Finally,
The Two is back, baby.
To BBS Radio. You're listening to The Two on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Myron Westmoreland, and this is my co-host, Tony.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's do this.
And today, you know, our guests are going to be Dr. Samuel Mave of the Christian Metro Center and Senior Pastor Corby Bush of the Light Liberty Church in Oak Park, Illinois, and of the Greater Harvest Church here in Dallas. Tony, you and I have talked about this many times, but let's, we want to talk about some social issues that's going on within the communities, within the church and outside the church. And what's your thoughts on it? I want to talk about a little bit about the shifting that's going on. I think there's kind of been a shift on the authority of Scripture, the authority of the Bible. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree, man. I don't know. It seems that a lot of people want to modernize things. Some people think it's good. Some people think it's bad. I don't know. What we're going to try to do today is try to figure out what's going on with it, what's happening within the church, the authority of the Bible. We're going to try to figure out, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What should we be looking for as we make this shift? So I believe it's a great conversation to be had, and I believe that a lot will be learned today if we open our minds and hearts up to the Word of God.
All right. Well, let's bring Dr. Malve in and Pastor Bush. Gentlemen, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Bush.
Hey, Pastor Bush, how you doing, sir? Welcome to the program today.
Thank you.
Pastor
Bush, you doing all right this morning? I'm holding on.
All right, that sounds good.
Dr. Malve, how you doing this morning, sir? Pastor Bush, will you tell our listeners about your ministries here in Texas and in Illinois?
Well, I pastor two churches. I pastor one church in Dallas, Texas, Greater Harvest Church in Dallas, Texas, a great church at 2755 Overton Road. And in Chicago, I pastor in Oak Park, Illinois, which is a suburb right outside of Chicago, right on the corner of Austin and Washington, Light of Liberty Church. And so there are two great churches there.
Okay. And at Greater Harvest, in your ministries, and what do you guys have going on this month that's going on?
Well, we got Supernatural Weekend, what we call Supernatural Weekend, which is really a celebration of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and what those sufferings accomplished. We have a big celebration. It starts on the 18th, which is Good Friday at 12 noon. We have a big harvest, great celebration on the 18th. It starts at 12 noon. We have communion. And right after we have communion, we have a big fellowship banquet. It's for our whole community. We invite everybody from our community. And we do not receive an offering or anything like that. We tell the people when they come for Good Friday service that the only offering they have to bring is a celebration and worship and praise to God for the great things God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. So that's what we do. And then the next day, which is the 19th, is the day that we have a big outdoor festival. We barbecue for the whole community. We have a petting zoo for the children. We give each child a Easter basket. We have an Easter egg hunt. We have video buses, bounce houses, just all kind of stuff for the kids, and just a big celebration. But also we have a mall in our church where we give away clothing, we give away car seats, baby beds, strollers, all kind of clothes for children and that kind of thing. So we pray that, you know, single mothers or mothers who have needs, people who are in need will come and benefit, because there's no cost for anything. There's no cost for the meal. There's no cost for the barbecue. There's no cost for the petting zoo. There's no cost for the video bus. There's no cost for anything. And so we just pray that our people will really come and just really enjoy the day with us. Last year we gave away so many giveaways. We gave away LeBron James gym shoes, all kind of certificates to people who go buy groceries. We have all kind of fresh fruit, and it's just a wonderful time. And our community comes. The people come by the hundreds to it, and it's just a real blessing to everybody. And then, of course, on that Sunday, which is the 20th, is the great Resurrection Day celebration, because we call it Supernatural Weekend, because the greatest thing that has ever happened in all of history is that God himself came to this earth. He came in human flesh, both human and divine at the same time, and God gave himself for sinners. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the whole world to himself, and so we celebrate the greatest event of history. There is no greater event than Jesus Christ coming back from the dead by God's power, and we celebrate the resurrection in an outstanding way on this Resurrection Sunday, which we call Easter Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.
You guys go out there and join Supernatural Weekend with Greater Harvest Church, and that's on the weekend of the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Correct, Pastor Bush?
Yes, it is a powerful time, and everybody's welcome. We have people come from all races, from all different backgrounds and all of that, and it's just the fact that God loves his world. The world that he created, he loves. He's provided for his world. He has given himself for his world. And so we ask people only to respond to the love of God, respond to what God has done in Christ Jesus. And what response do you need to give? The response of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, that sounds wonderful. Coach. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Tony. Dr. Malvay, can you tell our listeners about your ministries there in Florida, sir?
What was that question again? I'm sorry.
I said, can you tell our listeners about your ministry there in Florida and the things that you guys are doing in the community, sir?
Yes, yes. You guys have a very good ministry out there, and I really commend you for what you're doing. But here in Florida, we have Christian Metropolitan Center, and what we are doing really is forming leaders. We believe that society will lack leadership at some point, and it is our mission to form leaders. And so we have, on Mondays, we have what we call Life University, and it's a full-fledged university that gives all the way to a bachelor's degree in theology and divinity and practical ministry and in pastoral management. We are the only ones that could certify anybody for pastoral management. We're accredited for that here in Florida. And so leaders are coming in. We have pastors, deacons, elders coming in to educate themselves and to prepare themselves for what lies ahead in their ministry. With the Christian Metropolitan Center, we meet on Fridays and Sundays, and on Tuesdays also, but Tuesdays is discipleship. So all the new members that come in, we give them discipleship. And over this weekend, what we're going to have is, Palm Sunday. We're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday over the 12th and 13th of April. And then on the 18th, just like you, we're having a big feast. And I like the term that you use, Supernatural Weekend. But we do have a big feast because it's the death and resurrection. And we cannot only say the death, but it's the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. let's get into the topic matter for today. First, I'll start with you, Dr. Malveaux. Do you think, I'm sorry, I said your name wrong, sir, forgive me for that, but do you believe...
That's all right, Malveaux, it's okay.
Do you believe that the church has shifted its stance on the authority of the Bible?
Has the church shifted its stance on the authority of the Bible? I believe that some have shifted their stance in the authority of the Bible. I believe that many, and I've heard many preachers talk about how the Bible is no longer relevant to the issues at hand. You know, I myself believe that the Bible is relevant throughout the ages, and it has been throughout the ages. But we're coming to a period of time where people are rejecting the purity of the word, if I may use that term. And they're going for more philosophical views on the relevant issues that we are going through today. So, yes, there is a shifting of the authority of the word, where many preachers even say the word is not enough. The word, you need to have psychology, and you need to have this, and you need to have that in order to help a particular person, because the word of God is not enough.
Wow.
Pastor Bush, what are your thoughts, sir?
Yes. Well, absolutely. Well, you're living in a time when you have religious leaders like Michael Eric Dyson. You have religious leaders who have center stage now on CNN, on MSNBC. When you look at what's happening in the media, most of our new movies that are coming out, comedy, most of our comedians and people like this, they are challenging the authority of the Word of God. Generally, when the authority of Scripture is challenged, it's challenged by people who are ill-equipped to have an understanding of Scripture. Like, for instance, we live in a day where the authority of the Bible is actually challenged, and it's being challenged on a day-to-day basis. There are movies that are coming out where people are looked upon as ignorant. You know, you always see the ministers being portrayed in a bad light. They're docile, they're ignorant, they're silly. You know, they've got wild hair, they look silly. I mean, you just could name any number of movies where ministers are betrayed in this way. The gospel is looked upon as a joke. You know, we hoop, we holler, we joke about it, we laugh about it. It's not being taken very seriously, and there's a real reason for this. There's a reason, because nobody wants to, at this time, really allow the authority, allow the scriptures to speak. You know, morality is relative, is what's moral to you, is what's right to you. And so scripture, in some sense, is being, you know, downplayed. Like I said, the media, the movies that are coming out, the comedians, the way they talk, and, you know, the things of God are taken as a joke. You know, people marking tongues and, you know, making a mock of how people praise God, and, you know, it's just a big mockery. I think that the leaders of the church need to be cautious. They need to be cautious, and they need to address these kinds of things. Let me give you an example. Michael Eric Dyson, in his interview on CNN, said that the same Bible that would go against homosexual lifestyle, that Bible also endorsed slavery. Now, he put it out there as a blanket statement. He put it out there as a blanket statement on MSNBC in an interview. He says, you can see it, you can Google it, it can come up on Google. He says that the same Bible that endorsed homosexuality also endorsed slavery. That is a lie. That is a very subjective view of Scripture. Scripture at no place endorsed slavery, especially not the slavery that we endure in the United States. Scripture does not endorse that. In fact, when you go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, when the Apostle Paul lists the worst sins of mankind,
the worst sins of mankind. The Apostle Paul says, male prostitution, those that kill their father and mother, and slave traders. Now, look at another thing. The fact of the matter, when you look at the movie 12 Years a Slave, you see in that movie an abuse of Scripture, that somebody takes Scripture out of its original context, out of its original autograph, and tries to manipulate Scripture to say that slavery was endorsed by the apostles. It was never endorsed by the apostles. In fact, there is a book in the Bible called Philemon. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus escaped from Philemon, and he found Paul. When he found Paul, he became a Christian. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, which is in your Bible, and said Onesimus was your slave. He's coming back to you, but he is not coming back as a slave. He is coming back to you as a brother beloved. So you have to understand, beloved, that God does not, Scripture does not, and has never endorsed slavery. In fact, you see in the Gospels where the Jewish race, even though they had been enslaved in Egypt, they understood the revelation of God, and the Scripture says the Jews say, we have never been slaves at any time. So, you know, there is a need for the understanding of Scripture. There's a need to understand that Scripture has authority. Jesus Christ saw the Scriptures as authority. They governed him. He was governed by Scripture. And so there's a wonderful passage in Luke. There's a wonderful passage in Luke. You remember the passage where Jesus is in the garden and the soldiers come in to capture him. And Peter cuts off one of the people's ear. Mm-hmm. Jesus takes the ear and places it back on the man and heals the man. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't you know that my father could call 7 legions of angels? I could fight this fight physically. But then he said, but then how would the Scriptures be fulfilled? So it's a powerful way that even Christ himself, when he was in the earth, viewed Scripture. He viewed Scripture as having authority. And I believe in this day and time, we ought to view it as having authority also.
Amen. But I want to back up. Excuse me, guys. I know we got to move on, but I want to back up for a minute and get your thoughts on it. Tony, you, the doctor, the good doctor, you know, you brought up something, you know, opened up a whole another door, Pastor Bush, but you're right. But you know where they got that from when they're talking about the justification for American slavery. It is a book called Noah's Curse, which has been, you know, subtitled The Biblical Justification of American Slavery. I think the author is by a guy, Stephen Haynes. And this kind of is a segue into the next question I was going to ask you guys. You know, that biblical interpretation focuses on passages from Genesis 9 through 11. And you have scholars, literal scholars, in these universities that are teaching men that believe they have been called into ministry, or men and women that have been called into ministry, that this is certain, you know, this is what they're teaching them, that this is what the Bible says. This is the right way to interpret Scripture. I've personally read portions of the book, and it's a misinterpretation. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what some of these so-called experts in the field try to say. Now, just focusing on...
Yeah, and it's amazing. You're absolutely right, because one of the things that's keeping a lot of our young people out of church and out of the Word of God and really keeping them from faith is the fact that there are major institutions in this country like Dallas Theological Seminary, like Bob Jones Seminary, like Moody Bible Institute. I'm a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. I'm a graduate of Dallas Seminary. There are major institutions in this country for years they taught that there was a Hamanic curse, and that curse was to African Americans, that curse was to the Africans, period. You have apartheid in South Africa that was started by the Dutch Reformed Church. You have people saying things like this. They say things like, the blacks and the whites are different. We're different. And because we're different, you know, it's not to say that we're racist, but we're just different. Their race is different from our race, which is the biggest lie. There is no difference in the races. There is no difference, because whenever you set a difference there, you're going to always make one superior to the other. The difference is one is different better
and one is different worse. There is no difference. I never will forget in a class that I took at Dallas Seminary, you know, one of my professors got up and said, you know, the Hermetic curse that, you know, we have many godly men. This is what he said. I'm quoting him. He said, we have many godly men that taught the Hermetic curse was to black people. He said, now, these were godly men, but they were wrong. So I raised my hand in the class. I said, if I rob a bank, would you call me godly? If I committed adultery on my wife, would you call me godly? Why is it that you can be racist in this country and still be considered godly? You can be a racist and still be godly. That is not the truth. They were not only wrong, but they were ungodly men. We had pastors in Dallas, Texas, one of the guys who was considered to be the greatest pastor in the United States. He was considered to be Billy Graham's pastor. He used the word nigger. He founded a school. He said in the founding of his school, no nigger will ever graduate from this school. Now, I'm telling you, that's racist. That's not consistent with the word of God. It's not consistent with the spirit of God. It is ungodly. It is racist. The fact that the major seminaries in this country kept African Americans out of their seminary. You could not go. When I was going to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, they had the blacks staying at the Lawson YMCA. They couldn't stay on campus. You had to go into the student development office and sign a paper that said you will not fraternize, you will not show any outward display of affection to a white female as long as you're on the campus. These things were racist. These men were not godly. They were ungodly. They were not following the dictates of Scripture. Let me show you something. When Peter...
Hold on, Pastor Bush. Let me get started. let me get the doctor's thoughts. What you think about it, sir?
Well, I mean, he's right on point. Anything can be... you could use the Bible, in other words. You could use the Bible to prove whatever you want to prove. However, it is only when you take it, it's only when you take it out of context that you could do that. But if you follow the context of the Bible, then with clarity, you are going to see the doctrine that the Bible is trying to express. Then the other thing about that is how... if we don't have the Holy Spirit, how we interpret the Bible and we form dogmas out of the doctrine that the Bible is really expressing. And so we are able to prove our own desires. We're able to prove our own wantings with the dogmas that we put on top of the doctrine that is expressed in the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. We're going to take a slight break, and we'll be right back to close out this segment.
Duffy's Tennis Training.
You can't be serious, man.
If this is your game, this is where you need to train. You cannot be serious. Check out the prices first. Then say you can't be serious. If you want to learn a fun and exciting sport, visit Duffy's Tennis Training. Or simply call 817-371-0777 today.
You're back to the two on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Myron, with my co-host, Tony. We've got with us today Pastor Corby Bush and Dr. Malvay. Before we close this segment out, and we've touched on quite some interesting subjects today that are very important, the last question that I want to get your thoughts on is that in what ways, you know, since the church has changed its position and we've touched on the some of the reasons as to why that is. You know, I want to ask you guys, how do we get back to you know, how do we change this? How do we get back on track? Because it's you know, when you look out there in the context of the church within the community and society at large, you know, it's some things are a mess right now. And I just want to know, how can we get back on the right track? What's the first step that we need to do to try to rectify this situation?
Well, I tell you that the church has allowed a certain degree of modernization in the church. And when I talk about modernization, I'm talking about certain philosophical explanations and certain psychological interpretations inside the church that has nothing to do with the Bible. So doing so brings the Bible to a second place instead of a first place. So what we have to do, what I believe the church has to do, is bring back the church to be the Bible to be the only source of saying that this is what God is saying in today's time. If we go back to, if we go back to the philosophers, even the modern philosophers, and we're talking about 16 and 1700s, Rene Descartes and Kant, they're the modern philosophers. And however, this has been going on for 500-600 years now. So all these things have coming into the church to where the Bible slowly is being replaced by the philosophical views of men that did not have God, did not have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And so bringing the Bible back to its original place, and we have to blame ourselves for allowing that to happen. We have to say, we're not going to allow that to happen. And programs like the ones you have are the ones that bring a certain degree of the people saying, we have to do something about this. We really have to do something about it to where the Bible becomes number one in our lives.
Okay. Guys, we're running out of time here, but before we go, I want you guys, Pastor Bush, what's the website to Greater Harvest Church?
Our website is under construction. We have one, but it's under construction. But people can just find me on Facebook and Twitter. And also, I'm on television every Sunday at 8 a.m. on the Word Network. And, of course, in the Dallas area, I'm on radio every day, Monday through Friday, and twice on Sundays. I'm on KGGR and KHVN every day, Monday through Friday. KHVN, I'm on at 9 o'clock a.m. KGGR, I'm on at 8:45 a.m. And then Sundays at 9 o'clock to 9:30 on KGGR, and Sundays from 10 to 10:30 on KHVN. So people can find me. I always say, when you come to Chicago or to Dallas and you don't know Corby Bush, you haven't been there long.
Okay. And Doctor, what's your the website that they can find your ministries and get in contact with you on, sir?
Yes, they can find our ministry just by going to www.ccmanointed.com. ccmanointed.com. And that stands for, it's really Christian Metropolitan Center, but we have it in Spanish, Centro Cristiano Metropolitano. And that is ccmanointed.com.
All right. Pastor Bush, Dr. Malvay, we thank you both for taking the time to join us today. Sometime in the future, I'd love to have you guys back on the show, and we can continue this conversation. Until next time, be blessed, brothers.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
Tony, what time is it?
Oh, man, I think it's time for us to look at some of this sports action that's going on. Come on, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Hey, what do you think about the first week in baseball?
Well, it's hard for me to get into baseball right now because they had the the March Madness going on, and it's going so strong, and there's some good teams out there. But right now, man, just looking at baseball, my Texas Rangers. Yeah, my Texas Rangers. We're riddled by injury. You know, West, that they're in, man. And I'm not too sure, man. That Oakland A's team, man, that Oakland A's team is pretty scary, man. They got some sticks and they have some pitching. They scare me. The Angels, they're going to be who they are. I'm not too sure about them, man. They were kind of a letdown last year. They finished strong, but didn't quite make it in. So we're going to look at that. Astros, I don't think the Astros are going to do anything. Mariners, I don't think they're going to do anything. But you better watch that Oakland A's team, man. If they jump out fast on the Rangers, it's going to be hard for the Rangers to catch up, simply because it's going to be around June before they can get real healthy again. They've been bitten by, I don't know if you want to call it this, the curse of Nolan.
I went there.
The curse of Nolan, so to speak, and man, we're riddled with injuries. So we'll see if old John, he has something up his sleeve to get the team back on track.
Hey, well, listen, let's go to our in-the-field analyst and talk to Coach Duffy and see what Coach Duffy's expertise has to say about some of the stuff going on in sports. Coach, what you think about it?
I got to agree there, man. I got to kind of agree. I will agree with him for sure about Oakland, but I got to look at Seattle. You know, being from New York, being a Yankees fan, you know, we let Robinson Cano go to Seattle, so we're actually
right.
Let himself go, put it that way. But I know they're 3-1 Seattle, so you got to look at them. He may change the dynamic of that team right there. So that's also another team to look at. I may look at Houston. Houston may surprise some people. They might not get in, but I believe they'll be better than they were last year. And then I agree, man. The Rangers, you know, I live 5 minutes from that stadium, and there's some sad fans around Arlington right now. They're missing Nolan. They got those injuries. I don't know, man. I think, like I said, I think Nolan would like nothing better than to for his Astros to sneak up on the Rangers there. So.
Okay. Well, give me your predictions. I mean, you guys, give me your predictions. Who do you like coaching in the AL, in the American League? What's the team that we should watch coming out of there?
You know, that's a good question. I'm interested to see about the Yankees, really. You know, Tanaka pitched last night, the big Japanese pitcher. He got his first win last night, gave up 3 runs. I think he was... He only gave up like 1.2 something ERA in like 20 starts in Japan or more than that. But, you know, he got his first win last night. The Yankees are 2-2. They won 7-3 last night. The Rangers, you know, they lost 8-1 last night. So, but I'm interested to see about the Yankees. You know, no A-Rod. I'm on that.
Oh my.
You can't spell steroid with that ROD.
I hear you.
Wow, Yankee fan.
You gonna put him out there like that, huh?
Okay. I'm an honest sports fan, man. I'm an honest sports fan, brother.
I hear you.
Do it. I love it.
You guys don't think that the Tigers, say, like, if you look at the American League Central, you guys don't see Detroit doing anything, or what about the Royals? You guys don't think they're in the running, or even the Sox? But I mean, I know Chicago's in a rebuilding mode, but I mean, come on, what do you think about it?
Well, I'll throw the Royals in there.
Okay.
I'll let him go.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Royals, but, I mean, yeah, Detroit's always going to be there.
Yeah, Detroit's always going to be there. Always.
Okay.
It's given that they are going to shake up some people. They're going to scare some people. They are. They're just going to be there. I'm not too sure.
You got Verlander and you got Scherzer, I mean, so.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
So Scherzer, I mean, you think he's going to be healthy? You think he's going to create some problems when he gets back? Or what do you think about that, Coach?
Who's that?
I'm sorry. Do you think Scherzer, do you think he's going to get back healthy? You think he's going to be the same when he comes back? Or do you think it's just a minor setback?
I'm thinking a minor setback for now, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see how that works out. I mean, you know, he's coming off a great year. I know he had they offered him, didn't they offer him a couple weeks ago some big contract and he turned it down? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how the injury works out. But I think a minor setback now until he gets back, you know, healthy pretty soon.
Okay. Let's look at this Dodger thing. Puig. He got benched last night for showing up late. What do you think about Puig, Coach? What do you think? He's just a little arrogant, a little self-centered? Do you think he's good for baseball? What do you think about him?
I think he's a little arrogant, cocky. I think, you know, he's a young kid with a great upswing and talent, but you know, he's a kid that came out of nowhere, that came with nothing. I mean, had nothing from, you know, growing up in his country, and now he's in the States and he's making millions of dollars, but he's still got a 5'10" head. You know, I mean, he needs to kind of grow up quickly as possible, kind of a Dez Bryant, you know, of the baseball world there. And I think, I know one guy, being a Yankees fan, of course, Donnie Baseball, I think will get him straight in L.A. there. So, you know, Donnie Baseball is not going to put up with that at all. So, you know, he's got to bench him, you know, maybe. Mentioned several times. Maybe the kid will realize, you know, hey, I need to start changing my attitude here, so, you know, I can be playing on the field every day like the Dodger fans expect him to, and that the organization expects him to be on the field when they're paying him all that money. So,
right. So I think you gave kind of a real subtle advice to Jerry Jones there. You know, bench.
Oh, look out now! Here we go.
You know,
here we
bench
go.
Bryant. You know, he's a little bit overrated, immature, basically worthless. But anyway, moving on, let's talk about what you're
talking
about.
He said it, not me.
There you go. There you go, Coach. What about that alibi?
I'm trying to stay out of that one.
Don't run from it. Don't run from it. You know it's true.
No, never.
But anyway, I guess we could sum it up. We'll hit the National League next time in more depth. But let's focus on the Final Four. Who you like, Coach?
I like UConn because they're in my bracket, so I got a chance to win a couple bucks.
Okay.
But I think it's a good matchup. It's a good Final Four. UConn and Kentucky on a roll there. You know, Florida, Wisconsin play some tough, stingy defense. You know, I, and for $20, I threw in the bracket. I like UConn, but I think a good matchup would be the Florida, Kentucky, a little Calipari versus Donovan matchup would be a good kind of an old school coaching matchup right there. But it's tough. I mean, you know, I'm taking UConn, but I'm going to change sides real quick. I'm a diehard Notre Dame fan, so let's go Irish, Lady Irish. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There you go.
Well, what about you, Tony? Who you like? Who you like? I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm going for the Huskies. I mean, they basically came out of nowhere. I think the Huskies will win it all. I would like to see the Huskies play Kentucky. I think that's gonna be a good matchup. What, you got your number 7 seed against the number 8 seed, right? So I think it'll be the Huskies and the Wildcats. What you think, Tony?
Man, I started the year with Florida. I just like their experience. Man, they have some serious experience on that team. I picked Florida at the beginning, and they're still in it. They're still in it. And so I'm going to just keep riding Florida. Really, myself, I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to put out anybody's team or pick, but I think the championship game is going to be against Connecticut and Florida. I believe whoever wins that game is going to win the championship. I don't think Kentucky is experienced enough, and very talented with a tremendous mm-hmm. coach, but I don't think that they could actually go and stay in the same gym with Connecticut or Florida. And Wisconsin, I believe Wisconsin's kind of riding a high. They're riding the shooting center they have. I forget his name, but he is a tremendous talent. He's shooting lights out right now. Everything that he's doing is right. I don't know if he can handle it in a championship situation or this big Final Four stage. But right now, Florida and Connecticut, I believe, is good. Check out the Connecticut coach Ollie, who told his team. He said, look, man, last year, don't worry about it, but this year,
he told them last year, this year people are going to, other teams are not going to want to play you guys. And he was right. I don't know how he saw that in the future, man. This team is good. This team is very good, well-coached team, and they're not afraid of anyone. But I believe Florida will take them, and I believe Florida will take it all.
All right, all right. Let's change lanes now.
Go.
Coach, what do you think about tennis? I mean, we need – I mean, you know, when we get into the sport of tennis, I know it's not a sport that's focused on a lot, but what do you think about tennis and you think about the good American players? I mean, what's going on there?
What American players? What American players?
It's, you know, tennis is one of the great sports, man. You can play it until you're, you know, 70, 80 years old. I mean, but I think – you know, it's not really that with the economy, it's not really the country club sport anymore as it used to be. I think, you know, kids are getting out there a lot more thanks to Serena and Venus. You know, kids are getting out there a heck of a lot more. You know, I think if we had a lot of the ex-pros kind of come back and give back to the sport, I know, you know, Bob Terry still has his academy down in Florida. John McEnroe just started one, I believe, within a year or two ago, I believe. You know, he's got his tennis academy in New York. I mean, I think if we just start developing these kids to, you know, the young age, but the mental aspect of it, I mean, it's just like in any sport, you know, you want to be the best in your sport and you want to make those millions of dollars. But I think with tennis is, I'm always telling the kid, it's a mental sport. And, you know, you got to change lanes from one point to the next, and you can't get too high, can't get too low. You got to stay even keel. So I think if we just teach the kids, you know, to kind of get out there and don't worry about the almighty dollar as much and you know, but get these kids into some of these academies and you know, hopefully, like I said, McEnroe's got his a couple years ago and hopefully he'll get some kids in there and some of the ex pros will come back and give back to the game that they play and love. So
mm-hmm. All right, good point.
And to add to your point, we got four guys and four Americans in the top 100. One of them in the top 10.
In the top 10. All right. All right.
Yeah, Johnny is number 9, but yeah.
Okay. Who's number 9?
I just think I think John Isner.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. I keep real tall.
He's like, yeah, he's like 6'8". But yeah, real quick on the women's side, guys. I think we need, you know, I think Sloan Stephens is up and comer. So is Melanie Odin from Georgia. You know, I'm, you know, Venus and Serena have had a great run, but they're on the tail end of their careers, and you know, mm-hmm, I just think we mm-hmm. need to get some good American women in there too. I mean, no offense to some of you ladies, but I'm just tired of hearing all the ladies that end in Ova. You know, Sharapova and Makarova and Sibylkova and Eileen Dova and Ben Dova. I mean, let's get some American
my girl.
Yeah, right, yeah. Let's get some American names like Smith or, hey, even like a nice American name like Duffy. That'd be nice.
I hear that.
That's it, Coach. I love it.
I hear that. Hey, I'm going to have to – we're going to let you go, Coach, but before we let you get out of here, you know, it's an ongoing argument. It's an issue in the NFL, and we're going to touch on it real briefly, talk about DeSean Jackson and the whole show with DeSean and his on-the-field antics that have led to him signing with the Washington Redskins. But nonetheless, what you think about it, Coach? You think it was mistreatment, you know, gang-related, not gang-related, bad attitude, bad conduct? I mean, what's your thoughts on the whole situation?
I believe, like, you know, Roger Goodell, it's a business, obviously. It's not just kind of that sport anymore when everybody's making millions of dollars and as fans, we're – you know, we're pumping them with millions of dollars by going to sports bars or buying an NFL ticket. You know, we're paying their salaries as well on a you know, another level. I think, you know, gang related, not gang related. You know, I don't know exactly what's going on there, obviously, but I think if it's a problem with work ethic, then I think it needs to be held in house. You know, some of those players need to go to him and say, hey, you know, we're this is a team. You know, we need to get on the same page and, you know, let's get this thing done. Let's get a ring. Let's not worry about you making,
this much money and not getting this much, this many yards or this many touchdowns. You know, mm-hmm. it's a team sport, you know.
Right.
That's my take. It's a sport. I mean, now am I disappointed he went to Washington? Yes. Because he's still in division with the Giants, so.
right. All right, Coach. Hey, man, we certainly appreciate your time, man. We'll join you. We'll touch base with you next time we talk, Coach. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Great call, yeah. Coach. Thanks.
Take care.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for closing thoughts.
Duffy's Tennis Training.
You can't be serious, man.
If this is your game, this is where you need to train.
You cannot be serious.
Check out the prices first. Then say you can't be serious. If you want to learn a fun and exciting sport, visit Duffy's Tennis Training. Or simply call 817-371-0777 today.
All right, Tony, man, what you think about today's show? What's your closing thoughts that you want to leave our listeners today, man?
Man, I believe that we had some great guests on today. Pastor Corby, he was hitting it hard and he was hitting it strong. And if we had 2 hours, I believe he would have filled both hours with his thoughts, with some tremendous thoughts. I thank Dr. Malvey for his great knowledge of the Christian faith and his input today, which was tremendous in teaching us and guiding us. But my thought of it is, I believe that for the church to get better, we need to create better leaders. I believe that the leaders need to get better. I believe that the leaders need to learn before they try to lead. That's why I think we're failing at a lot in the church, is the leadership that should be present in the church. Thanks to Coach Duffy for coming out and giving us his word. I see right now that he and I are going to have some issues over there in that NFC East, but, you know, I still love him and I still respect him. But, you know, it's all about the Big Blue, the original Big Blue, not that fake Big Blue up in the north up there. But
look at you. Well, you know, I agree with you. I think we had a good show today. I think our guest hit some great points that we can all learn from, and that it's going to leave you with some thoughts to carry out throughout the rest of the week. I hope, you know, and I hope it encourages our listeners and everyone out there, I know for myself included, to just really think about the situation at heart and just try to focus on what's important and to take to heart some of the things that were said today and to, you know, just try to get a full understanding of all that's going on and open your mind, you know, and learn something a little bit. Learn something. You're right, Pastor Bush was hitting it hard. The good doctor was hitting it hard. And to Duffy, you know, hey, man, I'm not mad at you guys. I know you guys have y'all little NFC East, which is basically the weakest conference in the NFL, because you know you can't hang with in the West, you know, because, you know, hey, man,
God.
It's all about the Niners, baby, you know that. And so, I mean, I'm not mad at you, you know. You guys can slug it out. Don't make no difference. Neither one of y'all will be there come February anyway. But that's another show, another topic for another time. I want to thank our engineers. I want to thank Doug. I want to thank him for his good work he does. I want to thank BBS Radio for giving us this platform and this opportunity. And so until next time, you guys be safe, be careful.